In 2011, the poet Edward Hirsch lost his son, Gabriel. He was 22 when he died. In life, Gabriel was exciting and energetic, but his father says he also struggled.
Some nights I could not tell if he was the wrecking ball or the building it crashed into.
That's Edward Hirsch reading a poem he wrote about his late son. It's a long poem, a 78-page elegy called simply Gabriel, a Poem.
I look back at the worried parents wandering through the house. What are we going to do? The evening of the clinical, the night of the psychological, the morning face down in the pillow. The experts can handle him. The experts have no idea how to handle him.
Gabriel disappeared one night during a storm. He took a club drug, had a seizure, and died from cardiac arrest. His sudden death shocked his parents. We spoke to his father, Edward Hirsch, who is president of the Guggenheim Foundation in New York and an accomplished poet. He talked about the process of turning his grief into poetry. I asked him to read a longer passage describing his son.
Like a spear hurtling through darkness, he was always in such a hurry to find a target to stop him. Like a young lion trying out its roar at the far edge of the den, the roar inside him was even louder. Like a bolt of lightning in the fog, like a bolt of lightning over the sea, like a bolt of lightning in our backyard. Like the time I opened the furnace in the factory at night and the flames came blasting out. I was unprepared for the intensity of the heat escaping, as if I'd unsheathed the sun.
Tell me why that describes Gabriel.
Gabriel was very wild. He was a wild spirit. He was very impulsive, pure energy, really. And I'm trying to capture that feeling of his impulsivity, his speed, his quickness, his sense of hurrying through things.
After you lost him, I wonder how quickly you turned to writing as a way to cope.
I was completely shocked when Gabriel died, and I tried to go back to work after a while, and I couldn't really function at work. And so, in order to alleviate my grief, I began to write a document in which I wrote down everything I could remember about Gabriel. I suddenly became desperate that I would forget things, because I'd lost him so suddenly, so completely. It all was sort of blur, and I wanted to remember. And I began to talk to my partner, to my ex-wife, to my sisters, to my mother, to Gabriel's friends. And every day I went to a coffee shop, and I basically tried to tell the story of Gabriel's life.
And what made you turn to poetry?
Well, after 4 months, I still was overwhelmed by grief. I felt that a tsunami had hit me, and I had to try to stand up. I'm a poet, and I've spent my life in poetry. And so I began to try and take the stories about Gabriel and turn them into poems. And when I was doing that, I felt better. I felt as if I were with Gabriel when I was trying to write about him. And also it was a kind of relief to be thinking about poetry and not just thinking about my own grief.
You said, though, that poetry is not a protection against grief.
On the contrary, poetry takes courage because you have to face things. And you try to articulate how you feel. I don't like the whole language of healing, which seems to me so false. As soon as something happens to us in America, everyone begins talking about healing. But before you heal, you have to mourn. And I found that poetry doesn't shield you from grief, but it does give you an expression of that grief. And trying to express it, trying to articulate it, gave me something to do with my grief.
You know, I think about when I lost my mother, who was a big gambler. The night of her funeral, I went gambling in Atlantic City where she grew up and just stayed at a craps table with other people who were at the funeral. And for a while, I was almost embarrassed to tell people that because I was worried they would judge me for the way I was grieving. And I wonder if you've faced that. I mean, this is a way of grieving that is making you and your family and the vulnerability very public.
First of all, there's no right way to grieve. and you have to let people grieve in the way that they can. One of the things that happens to everyone who is grief-stricken, who's lost someone, is there comes a time when everyone else just wants you to get over it. But of course, you don't get over it. You get stronger. You try to live on. You endure. You change. But you don't get over it. You carry it with you.
Talking about mourning and grief, it makes me want to hear another passage from your poem. It's on page 73, and it starts with, "I did not know the work."
By the way, I think gambling in honor of your mother, who was a gambler, is just a terrific thing to do. I think it's a joyful thing to do, and I think it's a way to celebrate someone.
I appreciate that.
"I did not know the work of mourning is like carrying a bag of cement up a mountain at night. The mountaintop is not in sight because there is no mountaintop. Poor Sisyphus grief. I did not know I would struggle through a ragged underbrush without an upward path, because there is no path. There's only a blunt rock with a river to fall into, and time with its medieval chambers, time with its jagged edges and blunt instruments. I did not know the work of mourning is a labor in the dark we carry inside ourselves, though sometimes when I sleep, I'm with him again, and then I wake. Poor Sisyphus grief. I am not ready for your heaviness cemented to my body. Look closely and you will see almost everyone carrying bags of cement on their shoulders. That's why it takes courage to get out of bed in the morning and climb into the day."
Well, Edward Hirsch, thank you so much for talking to us about your son and about the book.
Thank you, David. Glad to do it.
You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Greene.
And I'm Don Gagne.